Good morning. Wow, that was weak. Let's try that one more time. Good morning. That's much better. Awesome. My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. I don't know if you know this about me, but I love to fix things. And ever since I was a kid, I used to love to tinker with, you know, toys, pull them apart. Always missing a part when I put it back together, but nonetheless, I'll try to put it back together and make it work. Needless to say, I studied electrical engineering in college, so that shows you how much I love to figure out how things work. So you can imagine how excited I was when I found out in my house that our toilet was not working. I mean, I was excited. And so what happened was that the water tank was not filling up. And so what we had to do for about a week or so was that we had to jiggle the handle so that it would, you know, it would trigger the flotation device so that if anybody knows what I'm talking about, you know, you have to. Okay, thank you. Okay. So after we did that for a week, we got frustrated with that. We got frustrated with that because, you know, ever so often you hear the jiggling of the handle like someone's going to break it off. So I rolled up my sleeves, I took off the tank cover, and I looked at it, and the flotation device is not working. So I tweaked it. I tweaked it, and everything was, put the cover back on, and everything was fine. So I flushed it, it worked. So I thought. What would happen was that I would flush it, and it would work for me, but it wouldn't work for anybody else. Or one day it would work, and then the next day it wouldn't work at all. So finally, last week, I was like, you know what? This happened for like about a week. So last week, I was like, you know what? Enough is enough. Went to Home Depot, got the whole mechanism, you know, the pipe and everything like that, and replaced the entire flotation device. And it took me 18 hours and 15 minutes to fix it. My son was involved in the process and everything like that. And now, lo and behold, it's working properly for everyone. Yeah, thank you. For you plumbers, I just, you know, took your job. Anyways. But, you know, the tank would just not fill up. And, you know, and it was just, there was just something not happening. And as I think about that tank, and as I think about us this morning, I think sometimes our lives feel like that water tank. We know that it's supposed to be filled up. But something is preventing the flow of water in our lives. Something is preventing the flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. And what do we do? We jiggle the handles of our lives and we try to make things flow and we adjust things and we tweak things where one day it works and the next day it doesn't work. It works in one area of our lives, but it doesn't work in all areas of our lives. And I don't know about you, but that is frustrating. And so, if you will, what we want to do over the next several weeks is that we want to unpack some habits of the weary soul so that we can have life flow back into us, so that we can feel alive again in the Spirit of God. And that's what we want to unpack over the next several weeks. And last week, Pastor Greg did a wonderful job of kicking off the teaching series where he talked about taking on the yoke of Christ, where Jesus says, you know, come learn of me and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's when we take on Jesus's yoke, we're actually taking on Jesus and we're not carrying life. We're not doing life by ourselves, but Jesus is right there with us. Today, we want to look at meditation. Meditation. But before we dive in, can we just bow our heads and pray and put our hearts before the Lord? Father, we thank you for the sweet scent of your presence here this morning. Thank you, God, for showing up. Thank you, God, for being here. And God, as we enter into your word this morning, I pray, God, that you'll open us up and that you will speak to our hearts in a very personal way. I ask, oh God, that you will challenge us this morning and help us, God, that at the end of this session we can say it was good for us to be here. God, we leave everything in your hands and we tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You see, quite often when we think about meditation, many of us, we think of this mystical, supernatural, experience. So much so that some of us, we don't even want to touch it, you know, because we have this notion in our minds of what meditation looks like. But may I suggest to you that meditation is actually a biblical word that our culture has arrested, if you will, and transformed and morphed. And so this morning, what I want to do is to demystify, if you will, this notion of meditation. Is that okay? So I'm going to ask you to buckle up your seatbelts, and then we're going to get started. And I promise if you drive with me, we'll get out of here on time this morning. Is that okay? I don't know about you, but meditation can take a very long time. Okay, let me stop. So, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm chapter 1, it really highlights and starts out this notion of meditation. Psalm chapter 1 says this: "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." So here the psalmist is telling us what a blessed person, what they don't do. And then what he's going to do is switch gears and tell us what they actually do, right? He starts out with a negative, then he's going to switch to the positive. He says, they don't do these things, but this is what they do. He says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Here, the psalmist is telling us that, listen, and he goes on to tell us that this person, he is blessed and he's prosperous in everything that he or she does and touches. So here, the psalmist is telling us that a person who is blessed, a person who is considered happy, a person who is joyous, a person who is always on top for God, this person, they delight themselves in the law of God. In other words, they see something beautiful, they see something that attractive about the Word of God, and they delight themselves in it. Not only do they delight themselves, but the Bible says that they meditate on His law when? Day and night. The person that is blessed is not somebody who just meditates on God's law when something is bad, when something is going crazy in their life, when the job is acting up, when your son or your daughter is not doing the right thing. No, this person, they meditate on God's law day and night. It is a consistent process. So when we look at this word meditation from a Hebrew or from a biblical perspective, it has several meanings. And one of the first meanings that it has, it's talking about this notion of pondering. It's talking about this notion of speaking to oneself. It's talking about this notion of being so absorbed in your thought life that you can actually get lost in it. Hello? Meditation. You know, there are two members in my family that speak to themselves on a regular basis, and I thought they were crazy. But now I know that they were meditating. Okay, you'll get that next. Okay. Meditation, it's actually muttering. It's actually speaking to one's self. And a lot of people, when they think about meditation, they think of you know, it's me trying to empty my mind of things. But that is not a biblical perspective of meditation. When the Bible talks about meditation, it's actually talking about filling your mind with God's word. It's filling your mind. And so many times, you know, we don't want to engage in meditation because we feel like it's something, it's too soft, it's too mushy, it doesn't feel rational. But let me suggest to you this morning that if you can worry, you can also meditate. If you can worry, you can meditate. Because what worrying is, it's actually thinking about, it's actually being absorbed about with the negative outcome of a particular situation that you're in. That is what worrying is. All meditation is saying, okay, you know, this situation I'm going through, listen, I'm going to think God thoughts. I'm going to bring God's word into this situation because I know that God is able to take me through it. Meditation and worrying are similar. The only difference is what you actually focus on. Does that make sense? And so the definition that I really love is this. Meditation is actually pondering life within the context of God's word. Meditation is pondering life within the context of God's word. You're going through something. You want to say, okay, God, what is your word? What does your word have to say about this situation? God, I'm going through sickness. I'm going through illness. I'm going through times of anxiety. What does your word have to say about it? And I'm bringing your word into the situation that I'm going through. It's pondering life within the context of God's word. You see, when we meditate, it's as though God is inviting us to a table. He has laid out a table for us, and he's inviting us to the table, and he's asking us to participate at the table. And not only that, but not only is he inviting us to the table, but it's an opportunity for us to open up ourselves to God. It's an opportunity to say, you know what, God, I'm going to stay with you right here, and I'm going to open up myself to what it is you have to say to me right here, right now. Because you know what? When we're going through situations, when we're going through trials, when we're going through struggles, our soul needs to hear from God. Hello? So again, worrying is focusing on the negative outcome of a situation. Meditating is focusing on God's word in the situation. Hello? Are you with me? All right. So if meditation is focusing on God's word, if you will, we have to understand that there are two processes, or there are two steps that we must go through in order to experience the benefits and the blessing that comes with meditation. And Jesus has a lot to say about God's word. And we want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, and this is where we're going to reside for the rest of our time. And we want to unpack two truths that are revealed here as Jesus is speaking. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to 4, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, let me just unpack here what is going on. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. He had just been baptized, and God declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." After his baptism, the Bible tells us that he was led away into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this wilderness really represents a dry place. This wilderness represents a place of loneliness. This wilderness represents a place of pain. Because the Bible says that he was fasting for 40 days. He was alone, and he was in a dry place. And as he's in this place, the Bible says the devil came and tempted him in his moment of weakness. And the way that Jesus overcomes the temptation, the way that Jesus succeeds, and the way that Jesus pushed through the temptation is that he uses the word to counteract the plans of the enemy. And may I suggest to you that if you're going through a dry season, and if you're going through a painful season, and if you're going through a lonely season, the way that you're going to build up your soul, the way that you're going to gain strength, the way that you're going to push through that is all through the word of God. See, I've been saved for over 30 years, and wow, I can actually say that, over 30 years. And over those 30 years, there's been season of dryness. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? You know, there are moments when you're going through your Christian walk, man, and you feel, man, you can feel the presence of God, and everything is just, man, everything is just good, and you're just basking in God's presence. And then there are other seasons where you're like, where is God? You feel dry. You feel as though he's nowhere around. And what Jesus is saying to us this morning is that, listen, when you're in that dry place, when you're in that place of loneliness, listen, it's not about feeling, it's about feeding. It's not about how you feel in those moments. It's about what you feed yourself in those moments. And so there are two things that we want to unpack this morning as it relates to feeding ourselves. And the first one is this, that if we're going to meditate, and if we're going to experience the blessings that comes from meditation, the first thing that we need to do is that we need to desire God's word. We need to desire God's word. Jesus says to us here that man shall not live on bread alone. In other words, he's saying that what you need, what your soul needs, what your spirit needs, what your inner man needs, cannot be supplied by what man produces. You know, our culture has a way of telling us what we need, don't they? Our culture has a way of telling us, you know, what you should be and what brings success and how you should live and everything like that. But every time we strive after those things to fill ourselves, it's as though we reach for it, and when we reach for it and when we get it, we feel empty, and then it moves the target again. You reach for it, you achieve it, and then you feel empty again. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Life is more than food, and life is more than drink, and life is more than the money in your bank, and life is more than the house that you live in, and life is more than the car that you drive. Jesus is saying that those things, they cannot satisfy you. You cannot live by natural food alone. But you know what? That was where we started, wasn't it? And we got accustomed to living that way. You know, you live in a certain neighborhood, and every Friday night or every Saturday night, you know, you're going to a restaurant, and you have your favorite restaurant that you go to. But now that you've moved out of that neighborhood and you've come into a new neighborhood, you know, some of us, we want to drive back 20, 30 miles to go back to that favorite restaurant. God is saying, no, you were born in sin and shaping iniquity. You used to live in darkness. Now you're in light. You're in my kingdom. You're in my presence. Listen, you can't rely on that food. You have to rely on my food. You have to eat at a different restaurant. But you know what we struggle with? Our desires. We haven't cultivated an appetite for God's word. A few years ago, at our work, every year we have Christmas parties. We didn't have one this year because of COVID. And a few years ago, they put out a spread, and part of that spread was sushi. You know, they had sushi and everything like that. Now, I'm from Jamaica, and if you know anything about our culture, is that we don't mess with raw food. I mean, if you're cooking steak, it has to be well done, you know, borderline burning. Right? We don't mess with raw food. And so the notion of eating sushi, I'm like, ugh, no way. So everybody at work was like, Corey, you have to try it. It's delicious. I'm like, no, I just can't. But the more I looked at it, I was like, ooh, it looks, I mean, the packaging, the decoration was like, it was beautifully presented, you know, all different colors. And so everybody was eating it, and it was like, this is yummy. So I was like, you know what? Okay. It was like, okay. It's not so bad. And in that moment, I realized, okay, you know what? It's actually not so bad. And in fact, this evening, I'm eating sushi. And so this evening, I'm taking my wife out on a date night, and we're going to this sushi place. And so, you know, but I had to develop an appetite for it. And the only way we develop an appetite for something is that if we see something beautiful, if we see that something is delightful, and if we see that something is valuable. Do you see? And that starts the appetite. Here's what 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says. Let me start at verse 1. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Verse 2. Like newborn babes, crave the pure milk, crave the pure spiritual milk, so by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying that when you've come and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, it is at that moment that you start to crave and you start to desire this pure, sincere milk of the Word of God. And it is that milk, it is that word that is going to allow you to grow spiritually. And so if you find yourself stagnant, if you find yourself in a place of dryness, if you find yourself in a place of pain where, you know what, I feel as though I've plateaued in my Christian journey, guess what? The Word of God is able to propel you. The Word of God is able to nourish you. The Word of God is able to give you strength so that you can continue growing. But first we have to desire the Word of God. We have to cultivate an appetite for the Word of God. So the question I have for you this morning is, how do you see the Word? Is it beautiful? Is it delightful? Is it tasteful? Is it valuable to you? Because if it is, you're going to be drawn to it. Hello? Cultivate a desire for the Word of God. The second step that I see here, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The second thing I see here is that it's not sufficient for us to cultivate a desire for the Word of God, but we have to consistently digest the Word of God. Because I can have a desire for something, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go for it. I might have a desire for something, it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily going to eat it. It might not be available. It doesn't mean that I'm going to eat it, right? So not only do we have to have a desire for the Word of God, cultivate a desire for the Word of God, but we have to constantly and consistently digest the Word of God. And Jesus says it this way, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every, what is that word? Okay, you're not talking to me this morning. On what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. He wants us to consistently digest the Word of God. When I was looking up this digestive word, I looked at the human anatomy and I looked at the human system, digestive system, and I found out several things. So when it comes to digestion, there are pretty much three steps that is involved. There is the breaking down of the food that we eat, there is the absorption of the food that we eat, and then there is the excretion of the food that we eat. And so we're just going to focus on the first two steps. Is that all right? Okay, you're tracking with me. That's good. And so whenever we eat natural food, the first step is that we break down the food. We break down the raw food and we break it down into smaller pieces, right? So we break down that apple, and that apple might contain carbs. And as the reduced substance goes through our digestive system, our digestive system secretes enzymes and everything like that that breaks down these carbs into sugars. And once those sugars are broken down, it gets absorbed into our bloodstream. And once it gets absorbed into our bloodstream, our blood takes these nutrients to the places that our body needs it. And lo and behold, the body is able to fix and heal itself. Hello? Simple process. It's the same thing with the Word of God. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You see, when we meditate on God's Word, what we're doing, what we want to do is that we want to break down the Word of God. We don't want to rush through entire chunks. We're not snacking on the Word of God. We're having a feast. We're having a meal. And what we want to do is that we want to break it down. But not only do we want to break it down, we want to make sure that it is absorbed into our spirit. And so when it's absorbed into our spirit, guess what? There might be a time in your life or a season in your life when you're going through just anxiety and pain and everything that is going on around you. But if the inner man is strengthened, if the inner man is nourished, guess what? You're able to withstand whatever comes against you. You see, when you're in the face of trial, that's not the time you want to work out. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. Lord, the enemy is fighting against me, but I'm going to lift the word. No, you want to be strong before you get to the point of temptation. You want to be strong before you get into a spiritual battle. You want to be strong before you encounter struggles in life. When you spend time in the Word of God, when you break down the Word of God, and when it is absorbed into your life and into your spirit, guess what? You gain strength. Was looking at this. I didn't realize this, but for the average adult, the small intestine, they say, is about 25 feet long. Yeah. It's curled up in there. It's about 25 feet long. And the reason for that length is to slow down the flow of food through the body so that it can be properly absorbed into the bloodstream. See, quite often when we read the word, we want to snack on the word. We want to rush through the word. We want to hurry up and get past it. Oh, it's another chore. It's another exercise. Let me hurry up and get that done. And where God is saying, no. I don't want you to rush. I don't want you to snack here. I want you to sit down and have a feast. I want you to sit down and have a meal so that it can be properly digested into the spirit man. Does that make sense? It's amazing. When Jesus was in that dry place, when Jesus was in that wilderness experience, when Jesus was hungry, when Jesus was in pain and he was lonely, the one thing he used to counteract the plans of the enemy was the word of God. Guess what? If Jesus used the word, guess what we need to use? The word. Amen? Amen. I think there are times in our lives when I think... For many of us, when we think about the word, and this meditation process, we think that it has to. We have to feel some kind of spiritual, supernatural encounter in the midst of meditation for it to work. May I tell you, you don't. No. All you need to do is just expose your heart, expose your spirit to the word of God, and let it do its job. You see, some of us in here, you know, we derive pleasure from eating food, don't we? And for some of us, eating food is just a function. We don't derive any pleasure necessarily from eating it. We just eat it because we're hungry, right? Guess what? The spirit man is also hungry and he's saying, hey, feed me. Feed me the word and let the word work. My son, he's growing and I challenge him to eat food. Not because it's necessarily going to give him pleasure, but I understand that if he eats the food, he will grow. And how do I know he's growing? I have this thing in his bedroom where I mark from, you know, certain periods of his life. And then when I come to the next phases, I mark it and I can see the measure. I can measure the rate of growth. Yes? The time you know that you're growing is that there is a situation that occurs in your life, and before you would have crumpled under the pressure of the situation. But man, you've been feeding the spirit man and he's strong, and now you're able to withstand whatever it is you're going through, and you can look back and you can say, I'm growing. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. Yeah, I'm growing. Last year, this time, that would have crippled me. Last year, this time, I would have been in the bed in a fetal position. Last year, this time, I would have been calling out my friends and everybody. But now, I'm able to stand. Why? Because I've been feeding myself the word of God. It's the word of God. What I've realized is that there are many of us in here, we understand the what and the why of why we do certain things, but quite often we struggle with the how. And so what I want to do over the next several minutes is just model for you what a meditation time could look like. I'm going to go get my chair. You see, when it comes to meditation, here are four guiding questions that you can ask yourself as you're meditating. And again, you're not seeking for something supernatural in the moment. All you're doing is opening up yourself to the word of God and let the word do its work in your heart. Here are four questions that you can think through. As you're thinking through the word, is there a truth that is revealed about God? Is there something about the character and the nature of God that is revealed in the text that I'm reading? Number two, can you relate? Can you connect with an attitude, a desire, or a feeling in the text? Is there something in the text that I can relate to? Number three, how am I being called to respond to God in this moment? And that's a critical step. What is God calling me to do in that moment? How is he calling me to respond in that moment? And then finally, is there a habit or an intention that I need to cultivate? Meaning, is there something that God is calling me to practice on a regular basis? Or is he calling me to be a particular person? Intention. God wants you to be this kind of person. He is intending for you to be this kind of person. Or is there a regular habit I need to cultivate? And so what I want to do is to take Psalm 62. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up if you can. Psalm 62. And what I want to do is just model for you what it might look like. Again, you're not going to read through the entire passage. All you want to do is to read a few verses until there's something that sticks out, until, you know, the Lord says, you need to stop right here. So what I'm going to do is just model the first two verses for you. It says here, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." So, you might be in a car, or you might be at your dining table, or you might be at your bedside. This could be morning, in the lunchtime, or in the night. You just want to slow it down. You're not trying to rush through the text. You want to slow down. So he says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God." Okay? Is there a truth about God that is being revealed here? You can say, "Wow, as I look at this text, I see that God is a resting place." Do you see that? He is a resting place. But he's not only a resting place that is distant. He says here, "Truly my soul finds rest in God." He is personal. He is close. Okay, is there an attitude, is there a feeling, is there a desire that I can relate to in the text? You know, maybe you're going through a season of turmoil, maybe you're going through a season of despair, maybe you're going through a season of anxiety. You're saying, okay, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. So you're feeling disturbance in your soul. You're feeling this quietness in your heart. And you can resonate with that. Here is the psalmist. His soul needs rest. He's anxious. He needs to find a resting place. Do you need to find a resting place? You can find that in God. The third step is, okay, something about God. Okay, how is God calling me to respond? I like the last part of this. He says, "I will never be shaken." God is calling me to respond to whatever situation with confidence. Because I am your resting place. Because I am what your soul needs. Because I am personal. Because I am close. You will never be shaken. Yeah, the winds are blowing. The winds of health, the winds of finances, the winds of family, the winds of responsibilities. But guess what? You can stand firm. I will never be shaken. Last step. What habit, what intention is God calling me to cultivate? Probably he's saying to you this morning that when your soul is upset, when your soul is feeling the winds of life blowing against it, you just need to come to me and find rest. Become the type of person who comes to him in those moments. Before you call a friend, before you call a family member, before you call a doctor, before you call a lawyer, call him. And that's it. That's it. All you're doing in meditation is open. Thank you, Jesus. All we're doing in meditation is opening up our hearts, opening up our lives, opening up our circumstances and saying, "God, this is who I am, this is where I am, and I need you." It doesn't have to be anything supernatural. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to feel anything. I didn't feel anything this morning. No, no. Just open yourself to God and let Him do His work. That's it. We've been snacking. Quickly just biting and just running. And God is saying, no, I need you to slow it down and digest my word. I need you to slow it down and absorb my word, because my word has what you need. And so you might be here this morning and you saw that and you're like, Pastor, so what's the next steps for me? I'm glad you asked. Here are just some suggestions for you. Over the next week, just meditate on one verse. You're not trying to memorize the entire chapter. You're not trying to go through the entire book. Just one verse. Ruminate on it. Bring it, turn it over. And extract everything you can from it. Memorize a verse a week. If we do that, there are 52 verses that you'll have in your gun, if you will, in your arsenal, if you will, that whenever life comes at you, you can fire a shot at it. 52. Or you can memorize an entire section of the Bible. That's what I'm committing to this year. I'm trying to go through several sections and I'm trying to memorize entire sections, because it's good to understand the context of those verses as well. Follow a Bible reading plan. There are several apps out there that walks you through the Bible in a year. That's something you can do. One of the things that we're pushing this year is join a small group. Basically, what I'm saying to you this morning is that whatever exposes you to the Word of God, do it. Whatever exposes you to the Spirit of God, do it. Because that is what your soul needs. See, as much as we've been talking about the written word, the reality is that the word is not only written, but the word is personal. The Bible says that Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so just before you can even begin to absorb this word, before you can even accept this word, you have to accept the word, the person of Jesus Christ. And so I don't know where you are on this journey of faith. Some of us, you know, we're up and we're down, we're in and we're out. Wherever you are this morning, Jesus Christ is here to give you life. He is the Word of God that is here to give you life, and you need Him more than ever. So can I ask you to stand with me this morning? Could I ask you to bow your heads with me this morning? Some of us, we probably just need to recommit our hearts to God. We can do that in this moment. Some of us, it's probably our first time we're going to say, hey, God, I surrender my heart and my life to you. I need you. And that's fine. But whatever we do this morning, let us desire God's word. Let us cultivate an appetite for his word. But most importantly, let us consistently digest his word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. Thank you, God, for the tenderness with which you are able to mold us and shape us. And so, God, the events of this week, it might have been first in our country, but God, you knew what was going to happen. And God, we don't know what the rest of 2021 brings, but God, we want to prepare our hearts. We want to soak our lives. We want to be so saturated by your word that whatever comes our way, we will not be shaken. And so God, we ask that you will guide us and lead us this week and for the rest of the year into your word, into your presence, as we meditate and focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.